We begin today with a long discussion of faith and works in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. James 2, verse 14 says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him?" Now, as James introduces this topic, we need to remember that James has already said two things that lead into this topic of faith and works. One of them goes back to chapter 1, where he teaches us that real religion is doing. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And then he notices, especially with us, in verse 27, that pure religion is to help the widows and the orphans. So true religion is doing. It's not just hearing. And he shows us in chapter 2, in verses 1 through 13, that true religion is being merciful to the poor. That's the section where he's talked about people that favor the rich, that are partial to the rich, and ignore and snub the poor. Now, in verses 14 through 26, he gives us this long discussion of faith and works. So let's begin in verse 14, where he says and asks the question, "What does it profit?" In other words, what good is it? "What is the profit," he says, "my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he does not have works?" What good is faith without works? Faith here is just believing on the inside, but not doing anything about it. And that is just another way of saying what he did in chapter 1, verse 22. "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Here he's saying, don't just say that you believe, and don't just believe on the inside. He says, you must do, you must obey. Those works have to accompany that faith. And so the book of James is about doing. In fact, the Bible as a whole is about doing, not just hearing, not just saying, and not even just believing. For instance, the Bible tells us in Matthew 7, verse 21, that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus talked about the scribes and the Pharisees who say and do not. Matthew 23, verse 3. There were many people in the New Testament that believed on Jesus and believed in Jesus, but they would not obey. For instance, in John chapter 8, verse 30, the Bible says that as Jesus spake those words, many believed on him. So there's no doubt that these Jews believed on Jesus because the Bible says that they did. And then the scriptures tell us that Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But it was to those same Jews that the Bible plainly says believed on him that Jesus said in verse 44 of that same chapter, "You are of your father the devil." So they believed, but they were not saved. In fact, Jesus said that they were children of the devil. Another example is John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogues. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." So it's clear that the Bible again says that many, not just a few, but many of these Jewish leaders believed on Jesus. They looked at the proof, they looked at the evidence, and they believed, but they would not confess. What does the Bible say about a man who refuses to confess Christ before men? Well, Jesus said, if you will not confess me before men, I won't confess you before my Father which is in heaven. So they believed, but they were not right with God. A third example is Agrippa. In Acts 26, verses 27 and 28, Paul said to this Roman king, do you believe the prophets, Agrippa? I know that you believe. And Agrippa answered and said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. So he was not a Christian. He did not become a Christian in that example, even though he believed. But James, in James chapter 2, is talking to Christian people. He's talking to people who have been converted. He's talking to members of the church. And he says, what good is belief on the inside if a person, that person being a Christian now, refuses to do what he believes? So in this way, the book of James is like the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John was written to Christian people. And in that book, John says a lot about a man who says, but he doesn't do. And he teaches us that a man has to do more than just talk it. He has to do more than just say. For instance, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, John writes, hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. But he goes on to say in verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. So the Bible emphasizes again that there's a difference between believing it on the inside and even saying it and then doing it. Now, John also talks about love. He talks about real, genuine love and how that true love does something. For instance, listen to 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, and notice the similarities between 1 John 3, 17 and 18, and what we're looking at and are about to look at in James chapter 2. John writes, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John says, if you truly love somebody, then it's going to show on the outside. So let's go back to James chapter 2 and notice again what he's saying here in James 2 verse 14. He says, what good is it, brethren, if a man says that he has faith, but he does not have works? Can faith save him? Notice the word save. Now this is a question that answers itself, and the answer is no. Can faith save a man like that? Obviously, the answer is no. And in the context of the book of James, remember that he's talking especially about helping the needy. And that's what he's going to go on and talk about even more. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 27, he talks about the widows and the orphans and about how we're to help them. And in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, he says that we are not to slight the poor. Now, he's going to talk about that even more when we get into the next verses. But notice again here that his question is this. If a man says he has faith, but he does not have works, can faith save him? He shows that this is indeed a salvation matter. This is a part of our salvation. Now, why should that be a surprise? Why should that shock anybody today? Because the Bible teaches that in many different places. For instance, when you read about that great judgment scene in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, where Jesus says that all nations will be gathered before him, and he says to those on his right hand to come and inherit the kingdom, and he says, the reason is, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you came to me. I was a stranger and you took me in. And to those on his left hand, he will say, depart into everlasting fire. Why? Because I was hungry and you would not feed me. I was thirsty and you would not give me drink. I was naked and you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you would not visit or come unto me. I was a stranger, and you took me not in." Those people were condemned and will be condemned in the day of judgment because of what they did not do. Again, in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, the Bible gives us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor beggar at the gate of this rich man. The rich man refused to help Lazarus. He knew he was there. He had the ability to help this man, but he had no mercy on this poor beggar. And when he died, he went to torment. Now the question is this: did what the rich man do or not do have anything to do with him going to torment? Of course it did. It was because of his neglect and his lack of mercy, and because he failed to do what he should have done, that he ended up in torment. Now, in James chapter 2 then, verses 15 and 16, he gives an example of the works that he's talking about. In verse 15, he says, "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food." So there's the example. This is the situation. A brother or a sister is naked. The word naked in the Bible many times means inadequately covered. For instance, it means in this verse somebody that does not have enough on to keep him warm, to protect him from the weather. And he needs more clothes so that he can stay warm, and he doesn't have them. But not only is he short of having enough clothes, the Bible says that he is destitute of daily food. Notice daily food. Remember that Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread." Here is a brother or a sister that does not have enough to eat or enough clothes to keep him warm or her warm. Now, this should be an easy, natural need for a Christian to meet. A Christian ought to show immediate mercy and compassion, and like the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, any Christian ought to do what he can to help this person. But James goes on in verse 16 to say this: "And one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" James says, suppose one of you Christians sees a person in need like this, a person who needs clothes and a person who needs daily food, and you have the ability to help, but you won't. You do not. You just say to that person, "Depart, be warmed and filled," and you refuse to give them what they need. He says, what good is that kind of faith? And in verse 17, he makes a strong statement about that kind of faith. He says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. This faith is dead. Notice that he says that it is alone. It is just belief on the inside, and that belief on the inside by itself is not enough. So this verse shows us that some people have a dead faith. It shows us that that faith is by itself. It is alone because it is not accompanied by doing. And that faith, he says in verse 14, cannot save a man. And then in verse 18, he says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Again, he shows the difference between saying and doing. And notice the challenge. He pictures a man saying, "Show me your faith without works. Show me that you really believe without doing anything, like helping this poor brother or helping this poor sister." And remember, that's a part of the second greatest commandment of all. So genuine, saving faith must do as well as believe.